Each year, we have an opportunity to discern our call. We might be called to use our time and resources in a new way as we respond to God's grace. Or maybe our current call will be confirmed as God affirms what we are already doing and renews our spirit. Let's discover together. Who cares?
Maybe you noticed there's a distinct whiff of summer in the air today. We're hearing camp songs and we're seeing camp videos and bright sunshine. And you might be wondering, why are you torturing us in the middle of cold, dark January with these images so far away? Well, we have two really good reasons. One is that the camp that Prince of Peace supports, Camp Wapagasset, just opened its registration for summer. Registration opened on January 15th, and if you register in the next month up until February 15th, the students that register to go with Prince of Peace will be guaranteed a spot on that same week, so they get to go with their community. Now, certainly you can register after February 15th, but there might not be any room in that week. So we are encouraging all of our families with camp-age children to get them registered now before February 15th. And then there's a second reason. It's a new reason that is encouraging us to focus on camp right now. And that is because the McClure family have offered a very generous scholarship. If you know this family, you will know that last year was a year of tragedy for them as Valerie died, and they've been mourning her loss. But in her memory and honor, they have established a scholarship specifically to help defray costs for families sending their children to camp. And because of their generosity, we can guarantee that every child that registers before February 15th to go with Prince of Peace will receive a $100 scholarship. Very generous. And we are also offering the opportunity to the rest of the congregation to contribute to this scholarship so it can go on and on and on for many years to come. All of this brings our focus to the child. We are focusing on what happens when we raise a faithful child. We've been talking about children, especially one child that is leading us to God for all the Christmas season, and that, of course, was Jesus. But today we go back several hundred years before Jesus to a different child. His name was Samuel. Now, his conception wasn't quite as supernatural as Jesus, but the hand of God was certainly involved. And to understand that, then we go back to the story of his mother, Hannah. Now, when we meet Hannah, she is not a mother. She is a wife. She is an Israelite. She is a faithful woman who trusts in God, but she does not have a child. And this is her heart's desire. So one day after her family made their pilgrimage to the place of sacrifice in Shiloh, she went by herself to that place to pray. And she prayed boldly. She prayed with her whole heart. She was so deeply invested in her conversation with God that she didn't know what her body was doing as it was responding to this conversation. It was moving beyond her conscious control. And she didn't care, because she was pouring her heart out to God. The priest Eli was there and he noticed. And I just want to say, on behalf of all clergy people of all time, I am deeply embarrassed by his response to this praying woman. He accused her of being drunk. Why would he jump to that conclusion? I have no idea. But he couldn't understand why her body was responding in such a way to what she was feeling in her heart. And then she explained it to him, and then finally he got it. But she was pouring out her heart to God. She was asking God to give her a child, specifically a male child. And we've talked before how in that day, that was sort of the social security option for women. But I don't think that's what she was getting at. I think just deeply she believed that she should be a mother and she wanted to raise a child. And she says something very interesting to God in this prayer. If we're not careful, we might think she's bargaining with God, but I don't think that's it. I think in her prayer, she was explaining to God how she intended to mother this child, how she was going to raise him. And she made the vow of the Nazarite on his behalf. Now, don't be embarrassed if you don't know what that means. It is an ancient tradition of setting aside time to be devoted to God. It still happens today, but it's a little bit more complicated and a lot more rare. In Hannah's day, taking the vow of a Nazarite was something that both men and women would do. They would set aside a period of time to devote to God. It could be weeks, it could be months, maybe even years. But they would say, during this period of time, my main focus is God. I am going to give my very best to God. I'm going to focus on God. And the outward appearance then that let people know they were in this vow would be they would not cut their hair and they would abstain from alcohol. But then the period of time would be over. And when that period of time ended, they would go make a sacrifice, and then it was done. And I imagine the first thing they did was go get a haircut and a glass of wine. So it was meant to be beginning and end. Now, today, people that take the vow of the Nazarite, they can start, but there is no place to make a sacrifice. There is no more temple. There is no place of sacrifice in Shiloh. So if they make this vow, it is for the rest of their lives because there is no way to end it. Hannah's vow was even more radical. She promised to God that this child would be raised as a Nazarite from birth. And keep in mind, this is even before his conception. She promised God this child would lead a life of constant devotion to God. He, from birth until death, his hair would never be cut, he would never drink alcohol, and he would live in a constant state of devotion. Look what happened when she received this child. Samuel, who was raised as a Nazarite, grew so close to God that he became one of the most significant leaders in all of Israel's history. There are two books in the Bible named after him. He was a very powerful prophet, and even though he disagreed with Israel getting a king, once they did, he became a significant advisor, even to King Saul. And even today, we learn wisdom from Samuel. This is what happens when a person intentionally raises a child to be devoted to God. The world absolutely will be blessed. Today, I am going to invite Ryan McClure to share his first story about how he sees this working out through the lens of Camp WAPO.
Good morning. Good morning, and thank you, Pastor Jill, for allowing me to share some testimonies this morning about Camp WAPO's ministry. And I'll begin by invoking John chapter 15, verse 8, when Christ said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And my family and I, my dad Mike and my sister Caitlin, are excited today to launch the Valerie McClure Camp WAPO Scholarship. And this is to honor and remember a disciple many of us knew here at Prince of Peace. My mom, who as her vocation as a curriculum specialist at Prince of Peace, worked to bear the fruit in our youngest disciples. And I was privileged to be among the young disciples at Prince of Peace who benefited from my mom's hard work in the family ministry team. My mom knew a secret, though. Learning does not stop when the school year or the family ministry season ends in the month of June. Academically speaking, as early as first grade, when I was about this old, I experienced summer math and reading workbooks. Not as fun, but much more fun, was that my mom was a fierce believer and partner of summer camping ministry at Camp WAPO. Camp WAPO in Amory, Wisconsin, is a place where seeds of faith are planted. And with my best friend and fellow Prince of Peace disciple, Nathan Bergseth, we experienced camp together every summer. And each summer, we appreciated more and more how God was present in every aspect of the camp experience. We prayed before meals. We did our Bible studies outside under the sun. We prayed after field games, and we gathered together and worshiped twice per day. And the last spoken words each night in our cabins came from our counselors, reading scripture as bedtime stories. Nathan and I loved Camp WAPO so much that we applied to be counselors when we freshly turned 16 years old. And God speaks at camp, but the counselors are God's mouthpieces and role models and faith mentors. We were motivated by our former counselors who were so instrumental in our faith. And for 3 summers together, we served as counselors in the 1st through 3rd grade SEEDS program. And when I think of bearing fruit, I think of paying it forward. Because I was so impacted by God's presence at Camp WAPO, I was proud to plant the seeds of faith in the next generation of young campers alongside my best friend. And we were able to bring our leadership skills back home to Prince of Peace's family ministry program. And to this day, I continue to serve at Camp WAPO, now as the SEEDS program director. And it is my distinct privilege to train the best and brightest teenage counselors in the Midwest every summer. But beyond having excellent childcare skills, our counselors are deeply thoughtful and insightful. I found myself this past summer having a conversation with one of our new counselors, Henry, who was 16, about the impact camp makes on our young 1st through 3rd grade campers. He recalled being a first-time camper himself and his memories of fun and faith and friends and the thrill of experiencing sleepaway camp. And he also identified that although he couldn't remember his counselors' names, he remembered their enthusiasm for camp and kids and Christ. And so after the conversation, I found myself to one of the Camp WAPO computers, and I was digging through the photo archives, thinking maybe I knew his first counselors at camp, so I could send them a message and say, how cool is this? He's a counselor now. But when I found his cabin photo from 2017, I saw my own face staring back alongside my co-counselor Jordan for that weekend. And it was a powerful reminder that of the cyclical impact of camping ministry, bearing fruit that plants seeds which themselves bear fruit. God is always the gardener, but as a church community, we can make sure that our kids make it to the garden.
Thank you, Ryan. He will come back for a second one, so hold your horses. So we learn from Hannah to pray boldly, but then Hannah does something really remarkable. Remember, she had prayed with her whole soul and body for this child, and God answered her prayer. And then what did she do with that? She gave him back to God. As we heard, she told her husband, I will keep this child until he is weaned, and then I will return him to the Lord. So in her culture, weaning happened between the ages of 3 and 5. He was very small. And once he was weaned, she brought him back to Shiloh and gave him to Eli and left him in the care of the Lord. And as a mother, I think about, did he ever get to go home? Did he ever get to go visit his mom again? I sincerely hope that she kept her yearly pilgrimage to Shiloh so at least she could check in on him once a year. We aren't told how that relationship unfolded, but we are shown that she did one of the most remarkable and courageous and heart-wrenching things, is she gave God back the desire of her heart. Have we ever been challenged to give God such a meaningful gift? In the 14th chapter of Luke, Jesus says, any who want to become my disciple must take up the cross and follow me. And when we hear that verse, I usually think about adding a burden onto my walk. Now, it might be God is calling me to serve in some particular way that's really challenging, or maybe there is a particular person that God is asking me to take under my wing. Whatever it is, it's something being added to my life. But what if carrying the cross actually means giving something up that you value so much? Later on in the Gospel of Luke, that 14th chapter, we don't tend to focus on this as much. Jesus says, any who want to become my disciple must release all of their possessions. Now, we don't want to think about a child as a possession, but let us challenge ourselves to think about what is the absolute most precious thing in our lives. What is the absolute heart's desire that we carry in the depths of our soul? And would we have the courage to turn that back over to God? Hannah had that courage, and she released Samuel then to be a bigger blessing than just her child, and to be a bigger blessing than somebody that added to her family, but to also go out and bless the entire world because she released him. Now, when we're considering our children and the concept of camp, for some of us, it's going to feel exactly like this to send a child for the first time to camp. The first time they sleep away from home, they're outside of our control, our protection. It might feel like we are entrusting the most precious thing in our lives to God. And it will take a lot of courage to do that. For those of us who are not planning to send children to camp this summer, perhaps we can dig deep into the resources that God has gifted us and consider how we might be able then to offer that back to God so that another child may be able to go and experience their growth and grow their wings of service and devotion to God. And now I invite Ryan back for his second story about relating with Camp WAPO and children.
Thank you, Pastor Jill. Hannah gave the thing she loved most back to God. Her own son, Samuel, who served the Lord throughout his life as one of Israel's most famous judges and prophets. And for sure, Hannah's story is one of sacrifice and radical trust in God. Now, Camp WAPO is accredited by the American Camping Association, so we promise that the only thing that our campers sacrifice is their technology for a week, as well as their day-to-day summer routines, in favor of a transformative experience of God's presence and mercy and radical acceptance. But still, it can feel like a sacrifice for parents to send their kids, especially their young kids, to camp. Are they ready for a sleepaway experience? Do we send them away when the school year is already so busy? And anecdotally, I can testify that Camp WAPO transforms a child's relationship with the Lord. But more persuasively, there is data to back it up. Now, a couple years ago, Camp WAPO participated in research from the organization called Sacred Playgrounds, with an overall sample of 1,187 campers responding. And the researchers sought to answer the question, what is the impact of faith-based summer camps on campers, their families, and their communities? And the results confirmed what camps and churches and families already knew to be true. 2 months after camp, there was a 25% increase in campers reporting that they attend church two or more times a month. There was a 65% increase in kids reporting that they read their Bible two or more times per week. A 25% increase in agreeing with the statement, faith in God helps me in my daily life. And there was a significant increase in disagreement with the statement, worship services are usually boring. Anecdotally, parents report that their kids' engagement in camping ministry helped rejuvenate their whole family's engagement with faith and their church community. Now, camp is more than just a fun place where we talk about God on the edges sometimes. It changes lives, families, and communities by providing foundational faith experiences for kids. And our kids are who we love most in our families and in our communities. But Hannah's story calls us to give what we love most back to God. And Camp WAPO is a low-stakes, highly supportive opportunity to do just this. Sometimes people ask, what can camp do for my child? Which is a good question to ask. But the research says maybe we should be asking the question, what can camp do for my child, my family, and the present and future of our church community? The research backs it up. Camping ministry is transformative in more ways than one. Now, every summer, I work really hard to make sure that my staff are prepared to offer these transformative experiences to kids. But I can't take any of the credit. The Holy Spirit dwells over the waters at Camp WAPO, just like the Holy Spirit dwelt over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So whether you have kids or grandkids to send to camp, or your financial resources to support the Prince of Peace Valerie McClure Camp WAPO Scholarship, our Prince of Peace community secures its future by partnering with Camp WAPO. Per Camp WAPO's mission statement, we are people of grace forming people of faith. So please consider a financial gift or the gift of your child or grandchild attending camp as a temporary sacrifice to enrich the lives of children and their families and our church and the broader community and the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. So today we learn from Hannah. Pray boldly. Pray with all your heart for your heart's desire. Pray like you don't care what you look like, who's watching, and trust that God is listening and wants to answer your prayer. And two, let's learn to be courageous, with our heart's desire, but courageous enough to trust God even with that, even if it means turning it back to God. Because this is how we work collaboratively with God to bless this world and change it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you send us your Holy Spirit, your spirit of boldness and your spirit of courage, that we may receive your blessings, nurture them, and turn them back to you for the sake of the world. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.